So what if? What if instead of just reading a book, you could have your favorite author read the book and explain the book, even just sit and talk with this author about the book? Well, what if you could do that? That would actually be kind of fun. We all have our favorite authors that we'd like to listen to. For instance, one of my favorite cookbooks is Company's Coming, Muffins and More. I've got two really good banana bread and lemon poppy seed maraschino cherry loaf that I make on a regular basis out of this. Some of you have had it. And I love it. And I don't even know if Jean Perret is still alive, but it'd be in. She isn't, right? I don't think so. But I know I'm online, so don't spread the rumor. But it would be neat to actually, and some of you, how many of you have some of her cookbooks? She's incredible. And Frieses Publishing in Altona is the one that I know the guy that got the account for her to publish through Frieses in Altona. It's good. Anyways, it'd be neat to sit down with her and talk to her about her recipes and how she came up with them, how she collected them, and actually bake one of my loaves with her. That'd be so much fun, wouldn't it? Like, really, seriously. Or one of Judy's favorite authors is Karen Kingsbury. Any of you into Karen Kingsbury? Christian author, very good. It'd be neat to sit and talk with her. Apparently she does cruises up in Alaska and that, where you can actually go on a cruise and get to know her a little bit. Wouldn't it be neat to sit down with her and talk about where she gets the themes and the books and talk about the background of the book? Like, it'd be kind of fun. Or what about this? Pixarpedia, encyclopedia of everything Pixar. Now, it'd be fun to sit down with the author, the compiler, who is, what's his name again here? Where is it? Andrew Stanton. And he put this all together. Now, that'd be fun, because if you've ever read this, and I've read through this, not word for word, but I've read through this, and I'm going, this is amazing, the background and the little, what do they call that? Easter eggs. That they kind of throw in some of the movies back and forth, like if nobody into Pixar? How many are into Pixar? It's pretty good stuff, right? You should watch some. And especially the old guy here. Like, I love that movie. It makes me cry at the end. But this, not the big green guy, the old guy here. He's really good. But be interesting to find out more of the background to this whole thing. Be fascinating. Or how about this? Now, this is the Batman Tumblr Lego. My kids and my grandkids gave this to me for Christmas last year. It took me 16 or more hours to put it together. So, like, one page has one piece. Like, and you're going, like, anybody into Lego? Okay. Yeah, so some of you have seen it in my place, and it's 410 pages, this book. But I would like, I don't know who the guy that designed, I know it's a computer thing, but I don't know who's the guy that designed the Tumblr for Batman, but I'd love to sit and talk with him, and actually it'd be kind of cool to actually build the Tumblr with him and talk about how he created this. It'd be fascinating. Now, we can look at cookbooks and novels and instruction manuals and other books, but here's the point. When it comes to the Bible, the scripture, we actually have the author right in our heart. The author of the scriptures live right in our hearts and are with, he's with us and he's around us. I've never met any of these authors. All the books that I have in my library, I haven't met. I think I met one of the authors face to face out of all the books I have. But the author of this book lives in me. Now, why does this matter? Why does this matter? If we miss the author, the Bible becomes a mere textbook that at best sits on our shelf. If we miss the author, the Bible becomes a mere textbook that at best sits on our shelf. Now, this is the thing. I know Kevin and Becky and I have talked about this. Scott, you and I have talked about, when you go to Bible school, it's easy to allow the Bible to become a book to just study. And we have to guard against that when we're in Bible school and seminary and all that. But if we miss it and it becomes a textbook, we miss the author. And at worst, the Bible becomes a worthless book that is buried, that our families and friends find hidden away when they finally clean up our houses and possessions. If the Bible does not become alive and we fall in love with the author of this book. Now, I have, you know, the expository dictionary of New Testament words. I could sit every day and read a few pages. Very boring. It's just words and definitions. I could do that. And I've read it. It helps me. I could pull out a commentary and really study it and read it and go through it. And it's fascinating. Really good stuff. But it's still only a textbook. Or I could pick up this big Grudem, right? We talk about this stuff. Systematic Theology. See how thick that is? Fascinating book. It's almost 1,600 pages. Almost everything you'd want to know about theology. And I refer to this book a lot too. But it's just a textbook. Now, the early Israelites, especially around the New Testament times, there was a problem that they were having. If you go to John chapter 5, verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus proclaims to the Israelites, and he says, "You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life." You see, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, the scribes, they were groups of people that their job was to study the scriptures and pull it all apart and analyze it and then teach it to people. And it became so important to them that as they taught the scriptures, they felt that as long as you know the scriptures and practice the scriptures, and how many times you heard Jesus attack them and go, the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a big thing. And Sunday's important, or Saturday for back then in the Jewish times. It's important. But they were so legalistic and so adamant about that if you don't practice the Sabbath, you don't even help anybody. You don't heal anyone. Yeah, you'll go and pull your goat out of a well on a Sabbath, but you won't heal someone. You won't lift a finger to help anyone, a human. And so what they did is they turned the scriptures into such a legalistic book that they studied more their books than they studied the scriptures. And Jesus says, You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me. He's adamant about that. That the scriptures, when you read the scriptures, they're pointing to me, to Jesus. You're missing the point. You've missed it. Now, one of the fun things you may want to do on your own sometimes is do what's called the word study. And that means you pick a word in the scriptures, you get a concordance, and you check out that word and how many times it shows up in the scriptures, and keep it in the context of it. But look at some of these words. So as I was thinking about, okay, we've been working through Jesus says, I am. And I'm working through it, and I'm praying through it, and I'm going, oh, yeah. Now, Jesus does not say, I am the Word. Okay? He doesn't. But the scriptures talk enough about Jesus being the Word. So I started in John chapter 1, verse 1. If you want to turn there. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, the Word. In the beginning, the Word. So I'm going to do some studying on the Word, or what the Word actually is in Greek is Logos. You've heard that word, Logos. So I did a bit of a study. So in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who are we talking about here? Jesus. Okay, very good. I know you're hesitant. Well, what if I say squirrel or something like that? You've heard that joke. I won't tell you that one. Okay. Jesus. This is what John is talking about here. Right here. He's talking about Jesus. The Word already existed, was with God, and is God. Interesting that you go over to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. The same author, he says, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning. We proclaim to you the one. Who's the one? Jesus, yes, not a squirrel, Jesus. From the beginning, whom we have heard and seen, we saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the Word of life. There's that word, that Logos, again. Then if you go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Now this is going to blow your mind. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God. What is it? What is the word in Greek in there? Take my word for it. It is Logos. So it says, for the Word of God is alive and powerful. Now, track with me a little bit. Who's the Word of God? Jesus. So would it be fair to actually say, for Jesus is alive and powerful. He is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. He exposes our inmost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Let me read that again. For the Word of God, who is Jesus, Logos. For the Word of God, for Jesus, is alive and powerful. He is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. Now, think about this. You look at how the author of Hebrews is explaining this. and writing about it. We have, and rightly so, we have always, whenever we've gone to this verse, it's always the written word of God. See? So what we have said and believed, and we're right, that the word of God is alive and powerful, and it is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between. Which means when we get into the word of God, in our quiet times, when we're reading, there's times when the Holy Spirit will use the written word of God to get into our hearts, to get right in there and to expose some things and change some things and convict us and correct us and all that First Timothy chapter 4 talks about. But when I look at all this and I go, oh, it's also Jesus. Jesus is the one that gets into our hearts. Jesus is the one that's changing us. Jesus is the one that is correcting us. Jesus is the one that really gets into our hearts and changes us. So it's not just this, the written word, it's actually Jesus. You see, what was happening to the Jews of that time is that they went so far over to one side of just the text that it became only the text that changes people, when actually it's Jesus with the text that changes people, that convicts us, that challenges us, that corrects us. It's Jesus working with the Word of God in our lives. Go to Revelation chapter 19. Fascinating. Now, this is at the end. The end is almost going to come. And Jesus is ready to bring judgment and to bring the world to an end and all of that and do what he's going to. I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but what he wants to do on earth at the end. Chapter 19 of 22 chapters of Revelation. So we know we're getting to the end. And verse 11, when John, who was writing this, the same John 1:1, the same John of 1 John 1:1, is also this John, Apostle John. Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. So heaven opens, and he sees a white horse. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. Now, do you know who he is? Do you know who this rider is? It goes on. His eyes were like flames of fire. Remember what it says in Revelation chapter 1? Describing Jesus. His eyes are like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. So he had a name that no one understood except him. Then verse 13. And he wore a robe dipped in blood, which many commentators believe he dipped his robe, his white robe, in the blood of the martyrs. All those that had died for him were killed while on earth for the name of Jesus. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title, not his name, his title was the Word of God. At the very end of time, his name, his title, is the Word of God. what I'm trying to help us to understand is that we have this book that we must allow the Holy Spirit and Jesus to infuse it into us. I think I've told you about one friend of mine who has since passed away, but just struggled with severe mental illness. And sometimes he couldn't read the Bible. He just couldn't. His mind couldn't go there. His heart couldn't go there. All because of what was going on in his life. And all I said to him, I said, Greg, just hold it. At least just hold it. And he would do that many times, and he'd sit in his chair, just rocking, just holding, because that's all he could do. It was great for him to be able to do that. We go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Now this passage here is about after Jesus is risen. And these two men, or possibly a husband and wife, were walking along, going to the road, on the road to Emmaus. And this stranger at the time walks up, what's going on? And they have a conversation with him. And so this is Jesus, who has disguised himself. He's hidden his identity from these two people. And they're talking and going along, and he's explaining to them the scriptures, explaining all that happened in Jerusalem, why Jesus had, why he had to die, all of that. But they didn't know it was him yet. And then they invited him, hey, we're going to stay right here. Do you want to stay with us? And so they sat down for a meal, and when he broke the bread, all of a sudden their eyes were open. They go, oh, that's Jesus. And then as soon as they recognized him, he's gone. Disappeared. And then they ran back and told the disciples. But there's a great verse here in chapter 32. And they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures? When we have our quiet time with Jesus, we're opening up the Bible. It's like one of the songs that I've shared here before, listen to, Word of God, Speak. Where we just say, God, I'm here, I'm opening up, whether it's a devotional guide, whether it's just reading, whether it's reading in the Immersed Bible, whatever it is, and we just open it up and say, Holy Spirit, just speak. Jesus, speak to me. Speak to me. I've often wondered why Christians in persecuted countries and other countries begged for Bibles for themselves. And one of the keys for the church in the Reformation was to have the Bible in their own hands. It's only in the last couple of hundred years that we've actually had our own copy, or access, at least in Western nations, to have our own copy. It's only in the last couple of hundred years. The Gutenberg Press was so ready to be used for multiplying copies of the Bible for everyone. We have it. But unfortunately, there's been so many studies, and I've talked about it, that state that though the Bible is printed, multiple, is one of the fastest growing books being printed and sold, it's popular, but readership is down. That's been documented in Canada, and it's been documented in the States. What do we do with the fact that Jesus is the Word of God? What do we do with the fact that Jesus lives in these pages and lives in us? What do we do with that? Application and reflection. Simply, read the Bible. This isn't, no, please understand. You know I don't work on guilt. This isn't about guilt. I'm encouraging us. It's one of my thing, one of the things about Tim Ryan for years has been to convince people and help people to be in the scriptures. Grab your Bible. Schedule your Bible. Schedule it. When are we going to read? Get a plan or a devotional guide. Get something that will help you regularly read every day. This fall, we expect to get the Immerse Bible groups going, and I will be teaching the Hearing God seminar as well. And the Hearing God seminar is a seminar that will help us how to hear God as we're reading the scriptures. How do we actually hear Him deep in our hearts? And how it's more than just a textbook, but how we can actually hear Him deeply in our hearts. And then we'll get into reading in the Immerse Bible groups. Read the Bible for all your work. If we miss the author of the Bible becomes a mere textbook that at best sits on our shelf. At worst, becomes a worthless book that is buried, that our families and friends will find hidden away when they clean up our houses and possessions. And what will that say about our faith and relationship in Jesus? Now, this book, the Tumblr instruction book, even though it's so much fun to work through, will not get me to heaven. Did you know that? This book will not help me when I'm struggling, when I'm depressed, when I'm feeling a little blue, when I'm struggling. It will not help me. Neither will Pixarpedia. And even Karen Kingsbury won't help you. Well, you know, maybe when I sit and bake a banana loaf, that might help me a little bit. And even these really good textbooks, Great Systematic Theology, might. But it won't. Only this Bible. So, let me read before we close our service. Yeah, perfect. One of my favorite musicians, Russ Taff, wrote this old song. So I told Brett, don't worry, we're not going to play it because it's an old 80s rock song. Christian rock song. But this one song is just stuck in my mind for years. It's called Walk Between the Lines. And he goes, when the night breaks in, I won't spin. Far away from what I know is real. In this heart of mine, a light will shine. For I have found a chart to pilot me. Walk between the lines. Through this life and times, my heart is hitting hard upon the word. Walk between the lines, seeing sure signs. My heart is hidden deep between the lines. When the days ahead seem full of dread, and I'm afraid of what the future finds, there's a place I know I can go. I'll find the peace to clear my clouded mind. Walk between the lines. Through this life and times, my heart is hitting hard against the word. Walk between the lines, finding deeper minds. My heart is hidden deep between the lines. When the night breaks in, I won't spin. So far away from what I know is real, if my friends turn away, I will not sway, for I have found my chart to pilot me. Walk between the lines. through this life and times, my heart is hitting hard upon the word. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the word of God. We thank you and we worship you. We honor you. And Jesus, I pray, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would bring us as your people, as your sheep, as your children, you would bring us more and more into your word. Help us, we pray, in your name, Jesus. Amen.